Okay, I think we can get started. So, welcome to this probably last recorded lecture of the course. So we are in week 44. And hopefully you've had some time to study and work with PowerShell desired state configuration and touch a little bit on Active Directory and Exchange. Unfortunately, not as much as I hoped to. So sort of the part about Active Directory and Exchange is something that we will keep basically in theory, meaning it's part of the course. I expect you to read the material here and watch these videos, and about Exchange and email in email service in general, I expect you to read these three here. Meaning on the final exam, I will probably include questions from this material. And just to comment on this first, the links I provided here is directly to this SMTP transport example. Some of you probably know this from before, but what you should be able to do is to perform a simple SMTP dialog, because that's something that you have to do. So meaning if I'm wondering, can I send email from my monitoring server on my laptop? Well, I know that I have an email server, which we are supposed to do, which is smtp.hig.no. I can contact this and I can say, hello, I am something like this. And hello, and the server then replies with the information about the server and the kind of feature it supports. So I can see that this server supports using start TLS, which is something we would use in ordinary cases. And then I say this dialogue here. Well, in the old days, we used to say hello, now we say hello. Mail from recipient to and data. So mail from at localhost, recipient to like this. Aha, sender address rejected, need fully qualified address. So you see, now I said, aha, so I can't say Eric at localhost. So if you have like a monitoring system and you're wondering why you're not getting email alerts, then this is what you typically would use to debug. You will see in the setup that you are trying to send email. Who are you trying to send email from? Where are you trying to send email to? And then just try to do the manual SMTP dialog. Because normally this would say okay, and I should be able to say data and then write an email. So that's try to do this yourself, and you'll see that, for instance, if you want Ezinga on your lab to be able to send you email, you will have to provide an hig.no address when you talk to the SMTP server. So knowing this dialogue is useful. And then I provided a link to Microsoft TechNet, which very nicely illustrates how Exchange works and how email flows through a typical email server. So this is worth reading. There's not a lot of text and very interesting reading. And this final about how you would deploy Exchange in a cloud in a redundant manner. I think this covers what you need to know about in theory. And of course, we should have done more practice around this as well, but I haven't had time to prepare that, and we're running out of time and need to move on to the project. So for the desired state configuration exercises, you now have sample solutions to some of them. Thanks to Christopher for helping to contribute to those. So you have one in the solutions folder here. There's now solutions to some of those, so at least you have the basic desired state configuration proposed solutions. But if you solve more of them, please email me and I'll share your solutions with the other students. Ideally, and I still have some hope that I will be able to do more work with it, but that hope is disappearing every day. So, the rest of the course looks like this. Project, 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 and then presentations and course summary. Meaning you should work on your project for the rest of the course and then present that and a final exam and we're done. These weeks I will be present in the two classrooms we have, same as every week. I will be here from 8 o'clock till 2 o'clock every Monday, and so I expect that you come ask me and I will supervise you on your projects these Mondays. Feel free to come visit me outside these Mondays as well, of course, but I still have reserved the same time slot every week. It's not like now you guys work and I go on vacation. I'm still your teacher and I'll be here every Monday and expect to help you. Okay, the goal of this project is that, this course is all practical work, almost all practical work. And now I have told you what to do, and hopefully you have done all the exercises and learned some technical skills, and you're eager to try out those technical skills on a topic which you choose yourself. So you are now free to choose a topic, choose some technology that you are interested in, and use what you have learned in the course for applying this technology. Meaning, choose a system you would like to install, a distributed system that you would like to install, and use Puppet and desired state configuration to install it. So if you have an idea of something, you're free to propose that and choose that as your project. You basically have 3 weeks, and I expect that each and every one of you work for 15 hours per week, meaning this is a 45-hour project. And I will grade you based primarily on how hard you work. So you have to demonstrate to me in your project report that you have worked hard. And I will give you a good grade. You don't have to solve anything major. Just demonstrate to me that you put effort into it. And that will give you a good grade. And if you, in addition, have managed to accomplish something that is hard, then you will get a really good grade. Yeah. So, I published this here. Meaning, hopefully by today and tomorrow, you should choose a topic and form a group. You can either do this project by yourself, or you can join together 2 or 3 together. So a group of 1, 2, or 3 students. In 4 weeks, you should present the project. if you are doing the project individually and you really do not wish to present it individually, I will not force you into presenting it. But I hope everyone will present, because I know I have some distant students who are not able to be here. I know that. So I'm not going to force you to present, but I expect that like 90% of you will present your project on that day. And the presentation does not count on your grade or anything. It's just to share with the rest of the class what you have learned in your projects. You can spend 3 minutes or 15 minutes on your presentation. But hopefully, some of you have been able to accomplish something and would like to show it to the rest of the class. So this, I'm always looking forward to this final day of presentation, because that's always the best session of this course, usually. So I have made available a folder here where you find some files. And some of you probably know you don't have to write the report using LaTeX, but I would strongly recommend that you at some stage during this program learn LaTeX. And learning it during the bachelor thesis is okay, but it's better if you are familiar with LaTeX beforehand. So that's why you don't have to write the report in LaTeX, but if you want to do that, then I have provided the style files and everything you need here. Because why do I recommend that you write in LaTeX? Primarily because of references. Because when you write a professional report, you will have a lot of references. And when you have like 100 references to your in your report, then managing them is a nightmare if you're using Google Doc or any other kind of language. Word is probably an open office. This is also much harder than it is in LaTeX. Because if you use LaTeX, then even if you want to to cite a Wikipedia page. So let's see that you want to cite this page. So if you're using LaTeX, then all you have to do is to go here, cite this page, and here's a whole bunch of ways of entering it, or just use the BibTeX entry. Here is BibTeX code for citing this page, and not the dynamic version, but the static version of the page which you are viewing right now. And then you can just copy and paste this into your BibTeX file, and then you wherever you cite it in your document, you just cite this key. And if you do this, then you get a document that looks like this. So when you cite in your text, for instance, I say journal articles like 3. I even get in the PDF, I get this nice hyperlinks which jumps to item 3 in the reference list. And in here I even have a hyperlink to the actual web page of the article. So you see, this looks, in the PDF you get all the links, both internal links and hyperlinks and everything, and this all is very easy to accomplish and looks very professional. And for you to creating professional documentation is really important later in your career as well. Okay, so this is sort of a template just to show you that your report should have a title, it should have an abstract, a table of contents, and probably something like this. Yeah. But this is not a strict template. Feel free to write the report in any way you can. Some of you know Jon Langseth at the IT department. He's the network administrator here and teaches some of the networking courses. I have linked to his project report when he took this course back in 2003. And he got a very good grade. So just if you want to read, no, sorry, 2004. So just if you want to read what a typical report here that gets an excellent grade, then browse through this project. This is roughly what I would expect of a group of 3 students doing the project and targeting a best possible grade. So yeah, by the way, this was in Norwegian, but the point is that you see the sort of amount of text and the setup of the report. Okay, so in addition to what is in this document, I've stated that the additional requirement this year is that you have to use Puppet and or desired state configuration. So either use Puppet or use desired state configuration in some way. That can be a small part or a big part of your project. But on the final exam, I will ask you more advanced questions about Puppet and some questions about desired state configuration. And especially on the Puppet part, I will ask you more advanced questions than I did on the midterm exam. So it's good for you to use your project to enforce and strengthen your skills from the course. So when you have a group or have decided to do this individually, choose at least a number 1, 2, and 3 priority. Or feel free to propose your own topic. Register your group or individual wishes by doing a group hand-in as a Fronter document in the folder Project Wishes by the end of Tuesday. Meaning, I have sort of warned you about this before, that the project is coming and that you should start thinking about forming groups. So I hope that most of you can form groups, choose a topic today or tomorrow. Because I know that some of you will want to do the same thing, and I want to quickly coordinate. So okay, then do you do this and do you do that? Now you can go ahead. So that's why the short deadline, that I quickly want you to have this out of the picture, so you can move ahead. By the way, I feel my English is really getting worse every day. I have to do something. I have to attend a class or something. So I will assign you projects on Wednesday. Or if you propose your own topic, then I will assign it to you as soon as you talk to me. So that by that I mean hand-ins. Here is project wishes. So go here and do a group hand-in where you include your members. And then I will approve your project here on Wednesday, so you can get going. Back to... Okay, this was my brain dump over some days. I can probably come up with more. But at least let's start with this list and see what you yourself will propose. And if no one finds any interesting projects, then I will help you find additional topics. It's not that hard. But at least I have a bunch of things that I would like to do, things I would like to extend in the course, which you can help me with. So... as you have noticed, especially now with the PowerShell desired state configuration, that many times we need certificates. We need certificates for or public-private key pairs for using many times with PowerShell desired state configuration. We need it for Logstash. We need it for Ezinga. Basically, any kind for Nginx and Apache. So basically, any time we're talking about secure communication, we need these public-private keys, and they should be linked to a trusted third party by a certificate. So probably what we should do is, as part of Active Directory, Active Directory is a group of technologies, and one of the technologies that is part of Active Directory is Active Directory Certificate Services. So in this course next year, should I teach how to install Active Directory Certificate Services when we start our infrastructure together with DNS, and then use that Active Directory Certificate Services as sort of the trusted third party, and where we get our certificates also when we install Logstash and Ezinga and so on. So if you want to look into Active Directory Certificate Services and see if we can use the keys, how do I get keys from there, and how can we use that as the Logstash keys instead of the ones we generate manually, that would be interesting to find out. You know what, Ezinga Web 2, there's a lot of automation missing. There's several things we can do with Ezinga Web 2, which ideally you should join the Ezinga team and do formal pull requests and contribute code to the Ezinga Web 2 module. If you look at the code of it, it's really not that advanced. From what you have done with Puppet so far, you should probably be able to contribute to the Ezinga Web 2 Puppet module. But you know that we do all the manual stuff for completing the Ezinga Web 2 interface. This should be automated, because the code I've given you is really quick and dirty, and we should do this much better. So that's a project by itself. As I mentioned, so that's the Ezinga web, the interface to Ezinga. Ezinga 2, which we have installed. We are using the old style NRPE. That shouldn't be necessary anymore. We can now use Ezinga 2 native, the native core, as both the client and the server. I have not configured this yet, but configuring and deploying this with Puppet and desired state configuration on Windows, or Puppet on Windows, that's something you can do. And again, all these projects, if what I'm saying now sounds too easy, remember you can always take it to the next level. So if this is easy to do, then you know there's a whole bunch of checks that should be part of the Ezinga infrastructure, which we have not done anything with. So adding additional passive and active checks in the Ezinga, that should be possible to do. Some of you have already seen that Kibana suddenly is not available anymore, or it fails, it's not really stable, and we deploy the ELK stack very, very simply, or in a very simple manner. So there's a lot of optimization and things we can do. We only gather syslog. What are the other logs we can gather? And how do you do that using these grok filters, which we were supposed to set up and configure? So we just installed basic ELK. There's a lot more to do with that. So if you want to dig into ELK, then you can do that. Exchange, which we were supposed to do this week. We're just supposed to install Exchange. Exchange is a big complicated system There's a whole bunch of things we can do with Exchange. And if you watch the desired state configuration module for Exchange, there's a lot of things you can do with that as well. So if you want to dig into Exchange, that's possible to do as a project. One nice thing to set up is we have a server called Storage 01 as part of the final heat stack, which we have not used. And how can you install Samba on that and then install on the two servers, login 01 and 02? You should be able to log into those servers using your account in Active Directory. This is probably the modern best way of doing this, is using SSSD. Don't ask me what that's an abbreviation for, but that's a nice way of setting up Active Directory as an authentication backend for a Linux server. So you should be able to log into this using your Active Directory account and then mount your home directory from storage 01 using Samba, and Samba should also do access control by synchronizing with Active Directory. That would be a nice setup. That should be roughly doable within 3 weeks. I'm not doing anything with firewalls. That's a typical thing you can configure with Puppet and desired state configuration. And I don't know a lot about firewalls. What is the best setup of firewalls? Do we always just default deny everything we can? Or, yeah. So, security updates. We haven't talked much about updating software. Other than part of course, we have created the setup for it by having a testing environment and a production environment. We have a setup so we can treat updates. But there are several issues that we can talk about when it comes to updating packages. And one thing I would like to achieve, like on servers that are not really production critical, meaning if you have a server that you really want to be 100% stable, then you know you change as little as possible and you double check every change before you test very, very carefully at multiple stages before you do changes to that server. But then you have a whole bunch of servers which are in a redundant configuration, and you don't have a problem with some of them failing every now and then because you have so many, and you know, a server fails and another one takes over, or you don't even notice that the server fails. And maybe on these kinds of servers, you don't want to just automatically do full update of all software every night or something. But most software is tagged as security critical or not. So how do you set up and do, like on Ubuntu server, how do you install only security updates, for instance? And on Windows, you know that now we have the possibility to do packet management on Windows as well with the package management framework on Windows 10 and Windows and part of Windows Management Framework 5, which we are using. But then you have to trust all these sources. You've seen that when you started installing modules, that you check that, are you really sure that you trust these sources? So how should one treat this? So there are several things that can be addressed, which you do, of course, all these projects you should read, study, and implement with Puppet and desired state configuration. I should have a setup of either in this course or in another course in the future, we should teach Ceph storage. We use Ceph and we have some Puppet modules for Ceph, but we really do not do a lot of details with Ceph, and there are several quite advanced things you can do. And Ceph is a really important storage technology to use in the future. Some of the major storage area network providers are now introducing Ceph as their technology instead of their own special storage systems. So if you want to dig into Ceph, that's an opportunity. OpenStack Sky Low development. So you're using Sky High. We have automated the installation of Sky High, and you have used part of that Puppet code already. And installing Sky High is, let's see. Yeah, here, installation. So my colleague Egil, he's the main architect behind this, and he has written this document on how you can install Sky High. So I, this summer, just to check that this is working, I have contributed a little bit to this as well, but he's the main architect behind it. So when I was going to start working on this summer, I took his document and I verified that it works by doing an automatic installation of Sky High, which I called Sky Low, and which is present in the room behind us now. So we have all the servers you need to do a smaller installation of Sky High in K202, the room behind you. So I did this installation, and I know that it roughly works. But then I haven't had time to touch it after this summer. So you should redo this installation, install our Sky High setup on physical hardware in there, and then contribute some code to it. There are several things missing in Sky High, and that depends on what you also want to do. But if you want to work on OpenStack, then this is a nice opportunity to learn more about that. If you want to learn testing, either testing of Puppet code with RSpec tests, or if you want to learn how to use this Beaker system, which I mentioned in the course earlier, but only as additional material. We haven't had part of it as mandatory. Then you can do that. I also have an issue that I would like a better backup system for virtual machines in Sky High. And that's also something that you possibly can study. But I would really like that you also choose something yourself. And if you're wondering what to do, then a good way to start, meaning what you should do in the next 2 hours. I would recommend that you go to the Puppet Forge or to the PowerShell Gallery and then start looking around. What is it that you would like to learn more about? Search, see, are there Puppet modules for this? In the Puppet Forge, there's like 4,000 modules or something. Some are good, some are bad. But you know, search, see what all the different kind of things that you can deploy with Puppet, or in the PowerShell gallery as well. There's a whole bunch of modules. So find something that you would like to explore. It's always the best if you have the idea, if you know something that you would like to learn. Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. So I mentioned this to you before, the PowerShell gallery. It's not as mature as the Puppet Forge, but here there are 372 unique modules out of 981. That's probably that there are multiple versions of the same modules. But you can search here to see things you can do. Is there a module to manage Windows Update? Wouldn't you like to dig into actually managing Windows Update? So search around PowerShell Gallery, and the same thing with the Puppet Forge. Here there's like 4,000 modules. Probably good to see here what are the popular searches. Is this something I would like to learn? We haven't done anything with web applications and the stuff you learned in Kyrre's course, those who took that course in the spring semester. Is that something you would like to scale up with Puppet? Going here and see which modules are Puppet supported and Puppet approved, that's probably a good place to start as well. Yeah, there's 3,666 modules here now. Any questions? I don't feel like I've given you the best pep talk, but hopefully you have some ideas that will motivate you to work hard and learn more about this. Because it's Yes. No, that's that's also something that we would like to have included in the in the course, but I haven't had time to study significantly yet. But if you want to pursue continuous integration and Jenkins and these kind of tools, then that would be a very good, that would be an excellent project. Yep, and yeah, I knew there was one thing I was going to mention as well. It is, I would have liked to propose you with a cool thing you can do with Heat is that you can do automatic scaling. But that requires that in OpenStack you have to have a component which you can gather measurement data from, which is called Ceilometer. And we have not yet deployed Ceilometer as part of OpenStack. So that's one, if you sort of want to dig into OpenStack, if you want to install SkyLow and contribute something, then go to our code and see how you can include Ceilometer in the setup. Or if you have access to some other cloud, it should be fully possible for you to get access to a different OpenStack cloud where you can experiment with Heat auto scaling if you want to do that. And of course, I haven't mentioned the containers. If you want to do something with containers, that should be fully possible to do. Again, we haven't experimented with containers in Sky-High yet, but that's the big thing in the most recent edition of OpenStack Liberty, which was published now 2 weeks ago. That has all kinds of support for running containers in OpenStack. And we really should do that. Yeah. Okay. Let's break for 20 minutes, and then I'll be up in the lab for the next 2 hours and discuss project ideas with you.